are liberated from material contamination. Puna, puna. Again and again. The Supreme Lord, Narayan, is present among devotees who are engaged in hearing and chanting the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Narayan is the ultimate goal of sannyasis, those who are in the renounced order of life. And Narayan is worshipped through the Sankirtan movement by those who are liberated from material contamination. Indeed, they recite the holy name again and again. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The Mayavadi sannyasis are missing the real presence of Narayan. This is because they falsely claim to be Narayan himself. According to the customary etiquette of Mayavadi sannyasis, they address one another as Narayan. To say that everyone is a temple of Narayan is correct. But to accept another human being as being Narayan is a great offense. The conception of Daridra Narayan, poor Narayan, is an attempt to identify the poor with Narayan, is also a great offense. Even to identify Narayan with demigods like Lord Brahma and Shiva is an offense. Yastu Narayanam Devam Brahmarudradi Daivata Samatvinayeva Fiksheta Saphashandi Bhaved Dhruvam. One who considers Lord Narayan on a level with the great demigods like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva is immediately listed among non-believers. The fact is that by performing Sankirtan Yajna, one can immediately please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then Narayan himself descends and immediately is present. In this age of Kali, Narayan is immediately present in the form of Lord Chaitanya. Concerning Lord Chaitanya, Srimad Bhagavatam states, Krishna Varanam Tvisa Krishnam Sangopangasha Parshadam Yagyai Sankirtana Prayai Yajante Hi Shumeda Shaha. In the age of Kali, intelligent persons perform congregational chanting to worship the incarnation of Godhead who constantly sings the name of Krishna. Although his complexion is not blackish, he is Krishna himself. He is accompanied by his associates, servants, weapons, and confidential companions. After all, human life is meant for pleasing Narayan, and this can easily be done by performing Sankirtan Yajna. Whenever there is congregational chanting of the holy name of the Lord, Gaur Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead in its incarnation as Lord Chaitanya, immediately appears and is worshipped by Sankirtan Yajna. In this verse, it is said that Narayan is Nyasinam Gati, the ultimate goal of these sannyasis. The goal of those who have renounced the material world is attainment of Narayan. A Vaishnav sannyasi, therefore, dedicates his life to serving Narayan. He does not falsely claim to be Narayan. Instead of becoming Nirvaira, non-envious of other living entities, one who tries to become Narayan becomes envious of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, the attempt to become Narayan constitutes the greatest offense. Actually, when one chants or discusses the transcendental activities of the Lord, he immediately becomes non-envious. In this material world, everyone is envious of everyone else. But by vibrating or discussing the holy name of the Lord, one becomes non-envious and devoid of material hankering. Because of our envy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we have become envious of other living entities. When we are no longer envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then there will be real peace, unity, fraternity in human society. Without Narayan or Sankirtan Yajna, there cannot be peace in this material world. Lord Narayan is present among devotees who are engaged in hearing and chanting the holy name of the Lord. The Supreme Lord Narayan is present among devotees who are engaged in hearing and chanting the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Narayan is the ultimate goal of sannyasis, those in the renounced order of life. And Narayan is worshipped through the Sankirtan movement by those who are liberated from material contamination. Indeed, they recite the holy name again and again. We are reading today from Canto 4 of Srimad Bhagavatam, Chapter 30. Entitled The Activities of the Prachetas, text number 36. Srila Prabhupada is discussing at the end part of this very illuminating purport the idea of peace within human society. Conflict is so prevalent within this material world, especially in the age of Kali. The root cause is described here as envy toward God. Where there is no envy, there is peace, harmony, and love. Where there is envy, there may be some superficial relationships based on affection. But every spirit soul is part and parcel of Krishna. The real person is the soul. You cannot really love a body because a body cannot reciprocate with you. Love is reciprocal. Actual love is giving and taking in the sense that it is an exchange. So this body is dead matter. Nobody loves a dead corpse. When the soul leaves the body, they bury it, or put it in the fire, or feed it to the birds. You cannot keep it. Sometimes you may keep a photograph of your departed beloved. But it's not actually the photograph you love or the body that you love. It's the soul. The soul that was once inside that body when we remember that person, that source of life, that animation, there's some reciprocation. Because every soul is part of Krishna, we can actually reciprocate with the soul according to how we're reciprocating with Krishna. If we are envious toward God, then we are potentially at any moment going to manifest envy toward any living entity. If we love God, then spontaneously, naturally, there can be nothing but love for every living entity. So, when we speak about envy of God, it should be done in a very practical way. We have our philosophy, but that philosophy has to be applied to our practical way of thinking and dealing in this world. Krishna explains in Gita, Sarva Loka Maheshwaram, Brahma Bhuta Prasanat Manasochati Nakangshati. If we want to be peaceful, we have to understand how to become aloof from attraction and aversion. How to do this? How to be peaceful? Krishna explains that he is the proprietor of everything. Everything is ultimately meant to be enjoyed by him. As soon as we claim proprietorship over anything or anyone, as soon as we want to be the center, the enjoyer, then we are trying to take the role of God. We may not say that, but in practical terms, that is what we were doing. If someone comes to your car and say, I know this is your car, it's not my car, but I'm going to take it and I'm never going to give it back. So what is the use of this talking and what is the use of this thinking? By all practical application, you are taking it for your own purposes. That is due to envy. We want to be in the center. We want the credit. Krishna tells us in Gita, I am the strength of the strong, the ability in the man. I am the intelligence of the intelligent. Krishna is providing for us everything we can do. But when we want to take credit for ourselves, that is also another symptom of envy. Today, people are fighting so much on the basis of position and proprietorship. If we recognize that everything is Krishna's, we are all meant to do whatever pleases Krishna, then there is real peace. Krishna tells Arjuna in Gita that you can understand this message because you are not envious of me. A person who is envious of God cannot understand truly the word of God. So this envy is a disease. It is a severe disease that the crux of all suffering. And real intelligence means to find the means of eliminating this disease. Today, because people do not really know what the essential problem is, their solutions create bigger problems than the original problem they're trying to deal with. People in the world today very often are taught that by expanding the illusion that I am the proprietor, I am the enjoyer, that is how we actually become happy and solve our problems. By perpetuating. Thus Krishna comes to this world and sends his devotees and his holy scriptures to remind us of what is the truth. we really want to be happy, we have to give up envy. Envy is like a burning fire. It's so subtle, and it can be so gross. The simple understanding by which this can be applied is to just recognize that Krishna is Vibhu. He is unlimited. And we are Anu. We are infinitesimal. We are Mamayvam so Jiva Loke, Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. We're infinitesimal parts and parcels of Krishna. People are very fond of being glorified. People like to get credit for themselves. Like any other type of material enjoyment, the more you put fuel on fire, the hungrier and more powerful the fire becomes. The more you have, the more you need. If you are recognized and glorified in a very nice way, and then you come to a place where nobody cares about you, it's very painful. When I was younger, I met someone who knew the girlfriend of one of the most famous musicians in the world at that time. He was very, very famous. When he would sing, he would go to stadiums. There was no question of going to concert halls. They were just too small for someone like this. When there would be massive stadiums with 60, 70, 80,000 people coming to hear him sing Hare Krishna. People's thousands of women screaming for him. And so much money, millions and millions of dollars coming in because of his fame. But girlfriend said every time he was going on stage, he was so afraid that they might not like him. Hare Krishna. Wherever he went, he was so afraid of his image. He was really almost miserably paranoid that at any time someone might not appreciate his performance, he might lose his popularity. So therefore it was a constant struggle to maintain that top rank popularity. And how long can you do that? The more you have, the more you need. And if anyone else sells a record better than you, then you become disturbed. But people like you and me, if somebody doesn't really, if we're not all that popular, it doesn't really bother us because we never were that popular anyway. There's not much to defend. Simple life is a happy life. But the more we become attached to worldly opulences, the more we become very, very disturbed with anxiety. Some time back, I was with a very famous yogi. He wrote so many books, very famous worldwide. Hatha Yogi. And what he did is he could do all these asanas. Incredible asanas. Wherever he goes in the world, he could do anything with his body he wants practically. He can put his feet anywhere. He could just curl his body, bend his body. Unbelievable. So he had he was famous for having such control over every limb of his body. But there is one thing he doesn't have control over. Time. Hare Krishna. From his boyhood, he was great, great yogi in the Hatha Yoga system. but old age is coming. And by the time he was in his late 70s, he was actually, I was with him, he was performing asanas for about 7 hours a day. Just alone, just in a corner, just doing. And he said, because if he missed one day, he'd never be able to do it again because old age was just creeping up on him. Hare Krishna. He was just fighting against old age, fighting like a soldier. Just bending, and he could still do every asana when he was in his late 70s as he could when he was 20. But about 6, 7, 8 hours a day just to keep doing it. Because if he missed a day, his body would just... Why? There was a lady, famous in the 60s, famous movie actress. I won't mention her names because we want to keep our consciousness on another level. But she was very, very famous. And why she was famous? Because of her bodily beauty. I read in the paper, this is some year, about 15 years ago I read this in the paper, when I was in Cincinnati on McMillan Street. I saw in the Cincinnati Inquirer, is that what it is? Yes. That this particular person spent her 50th birthday in seclusion. She has a big, gigantic house, and she spent her 50th birthday in seclusion. She won't let anyone look at her. Hare Krishna. And the 49th birthday she spent in a hospital because she attempted suicide. And the reason why was, she admitted, she said, because I was so beautiful. Everyone was so attracted to me. I was so popular. I was so loved for my beauty. I'm fearful that anyone sees me looking the way I look now, and there's nothing I could do about it. She bought all those creams, and she got all those kinds of surgeries, and she did all these spa processes. She did everything you could do with all the money in the world, but somehow or other, she was getting old, and she couldn't hide it anymore. And she was just ashamed that someone would see her not beautiful. Now, most of us, you know, we're 80 years old. It doesn't really make all that much difference to us. Because we were never glorified and honored for being something. So it's really, really a very, very difficult, anxiety-ridden thing to try to maintain some opulence in this world. But Krishna is the reservoir of all opulences. He possesses all 6 opulences in full. So instead of trying to compete with Krishna in our own little way by trying to attract people, just try to help everyone be attracted to Krishna. Then your life is peaceful, it's wonderful, it's easy. That's simple living and high thinking. If Krishna is all attractive, then why am I trying to be attractive? If we're trying to be attracted to honor, if we're trying to reflect Krishna's attraction to bring people to Krishna, then that is perfect. But if we're trying to independently be attractive for me, then we become Krishna's competitor. And we're no competition either. That's the problem. That's why it's such a miserable situation. You're going to be defeated. Krishna has all wealth, all knowledge, all beauty, all strength. all knowledge and all renunciation. This is the definition of God, Bhagavan, one who possesses all six opulences, a full, forever. If we take our pleasure in Krishna's opulences, then we will be eternally satisfied, unlimitedly. If we take our pleasure in our own opulences, there'll always be anxiety, because time is taking them away, and even whatever little we have, there's always competition amongst so many other people in this world. It's never enough. So real happiness means to know Krishna. Real happiness means to try to broadcast Krishna's glory wherever we go. And that is real detachment. Impersonalist philosophers, their idea of detachment is to somehow or other separate ourselves from desiring any of the temporary pleasures of this material existence. But there's no bliss in that. There may be some relief from the results of material attachments. Due to their temporary nature, they cause suffering. But there's no bliss. There's just some relief. But real detachment is attachment. Detaching ourselves from the false ego's desire to lord it over material nature and attach ourselves to glorifying Krishna, to serving Krishna, to giving everyone Krishna. Just like Srila Prabhupada would say, that when you decorate the deity of Krishna so nicely on the altar, then you lose your desire to decorate yourself. When we look at the beautiful face in Krishna and we become satisfied seeing that, unlimitedly satisfied, then we're not so concerned. We're not so concerned with looking in the mirrors and seeing if any wrinkles are coming and what to do with them and how to cover them and disguise them and everything like that. When we become attached to Krishna, we become fearless. Because Krishna's opulences are unlimited. They're not subjected to time. But our opulences, at any moment, finished. We were speaking about yogis. I knew another great yogi. He could do all these asanas. He was in his 20s, and he was driving his motorbike, and a truck hit him. He broke his back, broke his legs. I mean, I know 75-year-old people who never did an asana in their life who could move around better than him now. Nothing against hatha yoga. It's good for the body. But the fact is, we don't know what's going to happen from one moment to the next in this material world. And that is a fact. So why not invest our energy, instead of being attached to what is definitely going to create suffering, which means attachment to prestige, attachment to wealth, attachment to the temporary articles of this world, why not attach ourselves to Krishna? Why not admit Krishna's all attractive? And whatever little attraction I have is just a spark of the splendor of Krishna. And instead of trying to attract people to ourselves, attract people to Krishna. That is real happiness. That is truth. How to attract people to Krishna? According to this verse that we are reading today, Krishna makes himself so easily available.
through his name.
Nam namakari bahuda nija sarva shaktis tatrapitan yamita smarane nakala. Mahaprabhu has said that Krishna has invested his name with all of his opulences, his potencies. Krishna is present in his name. And he reciprocates according to how we approach him. Yegatamam papadyante tamstadaiva bhajamya. To the degree we approach Krishna in a spirit of service, Krishna reveals himself in his name. And his name is so accessible to everyone, to anyone, in any place. There's no hard and fast rules for chanting the holy names. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a devotee who was a small boy. His name was Gopal. And this Gopal, he loved Lord Chaitanya so dearly. And Lord Chaitanya loved him. He was so much just eager to serve, eager to please the devotees, eager to be with the devotees, eager to chant, to dance, to hear the discussions of Harikatha. Eager to serve in any way. So one day, there was this one man, and he was going to respond to nature. That means going, they didn't have bathrooms in those days. They would just go to the riverbanks or to the fields. So this was happening in Jagannath Puri. So this man who was going to respond to nature's calls, he was extremely attached to the chanting of the holy names. He was always chanting the holy names. He never stopped chanting the holy names. He was habituated to chanting the holy names. He couldn't stop his tongue from vibrating. How would you like to be like that? Sometimes when we're chanting japa, we're just tongue, just say that name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Our tongue is longing to taste something or speak something else or just go to sleep. But this person, he actually become reconditioned. Krishna consciousness means reconditioning ourselves to become addicted to Krishna. And how do we become addicted to Krishna? By becoming addicted to his holy name. So this devotee was like that. He was always chanting the Maha Mantra, constantly. His tongue just wouldn't stop chanting. So he was thinking, going to the bathroom, it's impolite and offensive to be chanting Krishna's name when I'm doing such a dirty thing. So what to do? He had his lota in one hand, and he had his gamsha, and with one hand he was holding his tongue still so it wouldn't vibrate. The name was, he was, Krishna, Krishna, his tongue wanted to go, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So he was going to the bathroom like that, holding his tongue with his hands. And little Gopal saw him and said, why are you doing that? He said, Lord Chaitanya taught us that there's no hard and fast rules for chanting. You could chant anywhere in all circumstances. There's no offense. You must chant at all times, in all places. Besides that, If you don't chant the name of God at the time of death, you don't know where your destination will be. What if you die while you're passing stool? Hare Krishna. Then what will happen? You better chant the holy names. So he let go of his tongue. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 and went and did his business. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu happened to see this. And he was very happy, this Gopal. He gave such good knowledge. He understood the essence of knowledge, that Krishna is none different than his name, that the holy name should be chanted by everyone at all times and all places and all circumstances. This is the great benediction of Harinam Sankirtan. In Dwapara Yuga, the Yuga Dharma was deity worship. You can't do deity worship when you're in the toilet room, can you? It's an offense. You can't do your puja after you wake up in the morning. You have to first get up. You have to take your bath. You have to perform your achman. You have to put on your tilak. You have to do your sandhyam, Gayatri mantram. Then you can do your deity worship. But in certain circumstances, you can't do all those things. But chanting the names of the Lord is the worship. The deity is not different than his holy names. And we can do it everywhere and anywhere in all circumstances. How accessible Krishna is. There's a story of, you know, Hanuman. He was writing the name of Ram on rocks and putting them in the ocean and they would float. That was quite amazing. Big, big rocks. They weren't just stones. These vanaras, these monkeys, they would rip off mountain peaks and put it in the ocean with the name of Ram and it would float. They made this bridge. It was 800 miles long and 100 miles wide. All tied together with vines, all these big, gigantic stones. All with the name of Ram. So amongst the Ram Bhaktas, there's a nice little story. That they were working all day building this bridge. So Ram, he was seeing Hanumanji just floating all these big rocks. So he wanted to try it himself. So he went at night when everyone was sleeping and he put a rock in the ocean and it sunk. And Ram was thinking, well, nobody's around. But then Hanuman was right behind him. So Hanuman was smiling. And he said, my dear Lord, he said that that you are most merciful in the form of your name. You are the most merciful in the form of your name. Because you're going to disappear from this world. But your name is going to remain. Your name is your presence, your strength, your opulences will be present in your name everywhere and anywhere. And by your name, the stone-like hearts of the conditioned souls within this material existence will not sink, but will float above the ocean of material birth and death, wherever there is your name. So Ram was very happy, yes. Power of his name. Of course, this is his pastime. So Lord Chaitanya saw that Gopal had such faith in the holy name and he had such a philosophical conviction in the glories of the holy name that then Lord Chaitanya named him Gopal Guru Goswami. Gopal Guru because this little boy Gopal was perfect guru because he was preaching perfectly the process of the holy name. But there was a problem. Would you like to hear? If you stay, I will continue. There was a devotee named Abhiram Thakur. This Abhiram Thakur was the incarnation of Sri Dhamma, Srimati Radharani's brother, one of Krishna and Balaram's best friends in Goloka Vrindavan. And this, when Abhiram had such powers. He was a preacher. He had a whip. The whip's name was Jaimangala. And if he touched anyone with the whip, they would immediately be thrilled in ecstatic love of God. There's a story. One time Srinivas Acharya, he was just a very young man, teenager. after going to Puri and finding out Mahaprabhu had left the world, he went to Abhiram Thakur's house on his way to Vrindavan. And Abhiram, actually he wanted to test Srinivas to see whether he was worthy of being beaten by the whip. This was a benediction to be beaten by this whip. He wanted to see if he was really in the spirit of service. So Srinivasacharya, he fasted all day. He's fasted for days while he was walking to get to Abhiram's house. So he said, you go. He said, I'll give you some bhoga. You go to the bank of Ganga, you take your bath, then you cook, and then you offer to Krishna, and then you eat. So Srinivasacharya, young Srinivasacharya went, took his bath in the river, and then he had just enough food for one or two people. And he prepared it very nicely and made the offering. And then Abhiram called some disciples and said, you see where Srinivas is, that boy over there? Go there, tell him you're hungry. Hare Krishna. So poor Srinivas is starving. He just finished the offering and the cooking, is about to eat. And then these people come up. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And Srinivas, they didn't even have to say anything. Srinivas said, please come and sit and take prasad. Please, please. They said, no, we don't. No, you must take prasad. All right, we will take prasad. He gave them everything. So he passed the test. Abhiram was watching. He was watching from a distance. Took everything. Said, he is worthy. He's actually in the spirit of a servant. He puts himself second to others. He puts other devotees' needs above his own. That is Vaishnav. So Srinivas came home and Abhiram very happily picked up his bullwhip called Jai Mangala. And he hit him. And Srinivas, being hit by that whip, just his hair started standing on end, tears started flowing from his body. He was just like, he was chanting the holy names. He was in ecstasy. Then he hit him again, and his ecstasy increased. And he hit him again, and his ecstasy increased. And then Abhiram's wife said, stop hitting. He's only a boy. How much love of God can you put on him? He's enough. Such ecstasy. So Abhiram was very powerful. But another quality he had, if he offered obeisances to to any stone other than a shalagram shila, it would just go into powder. If he offered obeisances to any deity and the Lord was not accepting worship in that deity, the deity would just crack and fall to pieces. Hare Krishna. And if he offered obeisances to any human being, if there was the smallest particle of material desire in that person's heart, he would immediately, or she would immediately, die. Hare Krishna. Bancha kalpa tarubhyascha. You really had to be a desire tree in front of Abhiram Thakur for survival's sake. So this was very well known. So when Abhiram heard how Lord Chaitanya was so pleased with little Gopal that he named him Gopal Guru because he had such faith in the holy name, Abhiram decided, I'm going to go and offer my obeisance to that boy. So he left his home in Kanakula, Krishna Nagar, and walked to Puri. And as he was coming, the word was spreading. The great Abhiram Thakur is coming to offer obeisances to Gopal. Gopal was a boy. So devotees were very fearful. What would happen if we don't know? What if he has a little desire in his heart? He's finished. So Abhiram came in. And little Gopal saw him. And Lord Chaitanya was present. And little Gopal, because devotees never think, I don't have any material desires. There's not even a mustard seed of desire in my heart. Devotees are humble. Devotees usually think they're the most fallen. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Narottam Das Thakur, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, all of these great souls, they never say, I am faultless, I am perfect. I'm full of lust, I'm full of envy, I'm full of greed, I'm full of pride. Krishna, please save me. Vaishnav, save me. That's the mood of great Vaishnavas. They never think they're great. They always think other great. The Guru is great. The Vaishnavas are great. Krishna is great. And they take shelter in all circumstances. Lord Chaitanya was speaking to Srila Ramananda Rai. Ramananda Rai was speaking such wonderful philosophy. And Lord Chaitanya was praising him. He said, Sarvabhoma Bhattacharya is so merciful that he has sent me to hear Hari Katha from you. And Ramananda Rai said, actually, I don't know anything. Whatever you make me say, I am saying. I am just like a parrot repeating whatever words you put in my mouth. My tongue is like a stringed instrument, and you are like the musician making the sounds come out. So Ramananda Rai took no credit for himself. He gave everything to the Lord. Ramananda Rai considered himself a Shudra and a Grihastha, unqualified. And Lord Chaitanya, he responded by saying, no, I'm just a Mayavadi sannyasi floating in the impersonalistic concepts of Mayavad. So what do I know about Krishna? What do I know about love of God? What do I know about rasa? Knowing my lamentable situation, Sarvabhoma Bhattacharya sent me to you to hear the truth. So this is the nature of great persons. So little Gopal, he understood Abhiram's powers. He was coming to offer obeisances to him. So what do you think he did? Abhiram came and started to go down in his obeisance. And little Gopal jumped in Lord Chaitanya's lap and embraced him. And Lord Chaitanya embraced him to protect him from the dandavats of Abhiram. And he did full obeisances. And in the arms of Lord Chaitanya, Gopal Guru was protected. Arivo. So he got this great fame because of his faith in the holy names. And he became one of the greatest acharyas of our Gaudiya Sampradaya. Wrote several very important books. Prabhupada talks about him also. Krishna is present wherever devotees come together to chant his names. Srila Prabhupada would often remind us that if we just have faith that Krishna is non-different than his name, we will go back home, back to Godhead. We'll become perfect because we'll take shelter of the holy names. And that is why the association of devotees is so important. Because in the association of people who have faith, who are striving for that faith is accessible within our own hearts. Haridas Thakur, he was tested in so many ways, but he had such faith that Krishna is non-different than his name, that he was fearless in every type of situation. Vajahure mana srinandanandana avaya charanarabindure. When our mind has that faith in taking shelter of Krishna, it becomes fearless. Otherwise, this world is a fearful place.
Haridas Thakur, he was chanting 300,000 names a day. And when the Mughal magistrates and Qazi, when they saw how he was affecting the people in general, he was having such a good impression on them, they became unbearably envious. And they decided to arrest him and kill him. So the king, he actually was attracted to Haridas Thakur. He said, he saw Haridas had such good qualities. And he spoke such nice philosophy. He said, just speak from your own scripture and stop chanting these names of Hindu gods. And we'll let you free. We'll respect you. We'll honor you. But if you keep chanting these names of Hindu gods, they couldn't even say the name Krishna, then we're going to have to torture you and kill you. And Haridas Thakur just left. He's surrounded by the military. He's in prison. Where's he going to go? He just left. Ha ha! To see the illusory power of Vishnu's Maya energy. You are thinking there's different gods. There's only one God. Puranas speak of him by the name Krishna. The Quran speaks in the name of Allah. Many names of God, but there's one God. But by the sweet, independent will of the Lord, he has attracted me. He has attracted me to the name of Krishna, to the form of Krishna, and I cannot give that up. This means you die. He said, you can cut my body into millions of pieces, but you can never take the holy name of Krishna away from me. Every one of those millions of pieces will be absorbed in chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna. That was his faith. In chanting the holy names of Krishna, we are in the presence of Krishna. So they beat him. The king said to the Qazi, what should we do with this animal? And he said, beat him in all the 22 marketplaces till life ends. So they beat him and beat him and beat him and beat him and beat him, and all the while he was just chanting Hare Krishna. And ultimately, sunrise to sunset, they beat him all day till they couldn't move their arms anymore. They said, Haridas, we're beating you and you're just chanting. You look at us like you feel sorry for us. But you're not dead because we have not killed you. We will be killed. Oh, if my being alive is a disturbance, then you see what I will do. And he just dropped dead. Hare Krishna. So they brought him to the king and the Qazi. What should we do with him? I think should bury him, the king said. Qazi said, no, this is the proper burial of a Muslim to be buried. If he gets buried, he may go to paradise. Should we burn him? The Hindu Brahmins, no, you can't burn him because he was born an outcast. He'll contaminate the fire. So what should we do? Just throw him in the river like garbage. So they threw him in the river. So he was... After some time, he came back. He rose from the dead. He was in samadhi. And he came up and he was chanting Hare Krishna. And then the king and the Qazi and the militant guards who beat him, they all came and fell at his feet and surrendered to him. Under no circumstance did Haridas stop chanting the holy name because he had faith. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu declared that this Sankirtan movement is the prime benediction for humanity at large. Jeto darapana marajanam. Because Krishna is all pure, Krishna purifies the heart. Because Krishna is all attractive, His name will attract our hearts to His loving pastimes, His loving form, and His loving service. And this is the conclusion of Srimad Bhagavatam. Nama Sankirtanam Yasya Sarva Papa Panoshanam. The final verse of the 18th. Srimad Bhagavatam is the last literature written by Vedavyas. First he wrote, he compiled the four Vedas, then the Upanishads, 108 primary Upanishads, then he wrote Itihastas, Puranas, Mahabharata, the Brahma Sutras. But he still wasn't satisfied. Then he wrote Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the crest jewel of all literatures, the cream of all Vedic literatures, the final masterpiece, the crescendo of the literary contribution of Vedavyas. And what is the last verse of the Bhagavatam? Nama Sankirtanam Yasya Sarva Paparpanashanam. That by the congregational chanting of the holy names of Krishna and bowing down to Krishna, we will be free of all sins and attain the perfection of life. Bowing down means humble service attitude. If we chant the holy names together in congregation, in a humble service attitude, we will be free of all of our sins. And what happens when all unwanted elements are removed from our hearts? Then our true nature is revealed. Prema Pumartha Mahan. As eternal loving servants of Krishna. The love of God is within us. It simply has to be uncovered. Harinama, Harinam, Harinam, Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, 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 Gatiranyata. And in the age of Kali, the means of uncovering it for everyone, whether one is Indian or African or American or European, Oriental, whether one is man or woman, rich or poor, educated or uneducated, man, all of these material considerations are irrelevant. Whether one is a Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, or Sannyas, if we take shelter of the holy name with humility, we will be delivered. The pure energy of divine love within us will be manifested. That is the perfection. That is the goal. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Is there any questions? Thank you. Hare Krishna.
जय जय जय